गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे जय राधा रस बिहारी राधा रस बिहारी राधे Jaya Sita Ram Lakshmana Hanuman Sita Ram Lakshmana Hanuman Jaya Gora Nitai Gora Nitai Gora Nitai Jaya Gora Nitai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Kaliva Pavana Sri Harinam Sankirtana Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 25th, the characteristic of King Puranjana, Text 13.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa ekada himavat Sayekada himavato Dakshineshvathasanushu Dadarsha navabhidvarbhi Puram lakshita lakshanam Sayekada himavato Dakshineshvathasanushu Dadarsha navabhidvabhi Puram lakshita lakshanam Sa ekada himavato Dakshineshvathasanushu Dadarsha navabhidvabhi Puram lakshita lakshanam Sayekada himavato Dadarshanavabhidvabhi Puram lakshita lakshanam
Matajis Word to word translation Saha That King Puranjana Ekada once upon a time, Himavataha, of the Himalayan mountains, Dakshineshu Sadan, Atha, after this, Snan Sanshu, on the ridges, Dadarsha, found, Navabhihi, with 9, Dwarabhihi, gates, Puram, a city, Lakshita, visible, Lakshanam, having all auspicious facilities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Once while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of Himalayas, in a place named Bharatvarsha, India, a city that had 9 gates all around and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. Purport. The tract of land south of Himalayan mountains is the land of India, which was known as Bharatvarsha. When a living entity takes birth in Bharatvarsha, he is considered to be most fortunate. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had stated, Bharata bhumite haila manushya janmajar, janma sarthaka kari kara para upakar. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsha attains all the facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement, thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute this knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsha, by virtue of his past pious activities, gets full facility to develop the human form of life. In India, the climatic conditions is such that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir or Lord Ramachandra, people were free from all anxieties. There are not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The 3 kinds of miseries, miserable conditions, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika and Adhidaivika, miseries inflicted by the body and mind itself, those inflicted by other living entities and natural disturbances, were all absent during the reign of Lord Ramachandra and Maharaj Yudhishthir. But at present, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the country's culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities in the past life. In this verse, the word Lakshita Lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Bharatvarsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of Vedic culture, cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Varnashrama Dharma. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries human beings have many material facilities but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everywhere the defects in one-sided facilities and a lack of full facilities. A blind man can walk but not see, and a lame man cannot walk but can see. Andha Pangu Nyaya. The blind man may take the lame man over his shoulder, and as he walks, the lame man may give him direction. Thus combined they may work, but individually neither the blind man nor the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping these material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come, take advantage of their money, bluff them and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. In India, any man in the village, unaffected by the industrial cities of India, can still live in a condition and make spiritual advancement. The body has been called the city of 9 gates, and these 9 gates include 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, a genital and rectum. When the 9 gates are clean and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy. In India, these 9 gates are kept clean by the villagers who rise up early in the morning, bathe in the well or river, go to the temple and attain Mangalarti, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and take prasadam. In this way, one can take advantage of all the facilities of human life. We are gradually introducing this system in different countries in our society, in the Western countries. One who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life. At the present moment, India may be compared to the lame man and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2000 years, India has been subjugated by the rules of foreigners and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blinded due to the dazzling glitter of material opulences. The blind man of Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. Then the lame man of India can walk with the help of Westerners, and the blind Westerners can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancement of the Western countries and the spiritual asset of India should combine for the elevation of human society.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaisham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So before I start, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior devotees and all of you so that we can speak on this elevated topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm feeling quite embarrassed sitting here and speaking in front of Prabhupada and all of you who can speak more deeply and more nicely on Srimad Bhagavatam. So this whole purport of this verse of Jaya Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki Jaya, Jaya Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Gaunita Ki Jaya. Prabhupada writes here that the land of India is considered very, someone is very fortunate if he gets birth in India. That's why he says, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusha Janma Jar, Janma Sarthaka Kari Kara Para Upakar. That one who takes birth in India is indeed very fortunate. Actually, we can see that also, like currently, every Indian is very famous and they like to chant the slogan of Mera Bharat Mahan. That they always consider their India very glorious. But we have to know that why India is glorious. India is not glorious because now we are one of the most progressive country, having big, big industries and big, big dams and so many technological advancement. First param computer we created in the entire creation. And then our system of sending rockets in the sky is competing with NASA. And we are creating so many weapons like Agni and other things. And our people are going all over the world, specifically in America, and having big, big jobs. So one may feel this as the basis of, that's why India is very great now. But that is not the actual glory of Indian culture. The glory of India is, as Prabhupada says here, that when someone is blinded by the material, razzle-dazzle, he says that how in Western countries, so much of facilities are there, but they are blinding them to the spiritual identity. And they cannot actually progress in their Krishna conscious life. But then he says, a layman, which is like India now, who is having little lesser facilities in terms of material facilities, but if both can work nicely, then both can advance in spiritual life. So as Prabhupada is telling here that India is so famous from centuries for its Indian culture. And Prabhupada is telling here very simply that how any village man can very nicely practice Krishna consciousness. He can get up early, go to temple, attend Mangal Aarti. And that can be seen now also. Like some of the, if you go now also in Rajasthan and other places, like even Jaipur, we are hearing that how when the Mangal Aarti of Govindji is there in the morning, more than 5,000 people they come early in the morning, 4:30. And they are not preached, they are not invited. They just come as a daily routine. So that's how their day start. They just get up and they come for the Mangal Aarti of Radha Govindji and then they go back. And in between time also, whenever there is aartis, like afternoon aarti or evening aarti, again all these people taking time out from their busy schedule, they come to just take darshan for 5 minutes. So that is the Vedic culture. So when we are seeing that India is rich with this kind of spiritual culture, what are the facilities this culture provides? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, these 5 processes of devotional service, which are very potent, and specifically he gives them to us for performing Krishna consciousness. These can be this 5 potent forms, starting with A, associating with the devotees and serving them. Second is reading Srimad Bhagavatam. C, chanting Hare Krishna. Deity worship. And then Dhamma Seva, residing in Dham. So these 5 aspects of Krishna consciousness make any person very rich in his life. He is not considered poor if that person is having these 5 in abundance. So in India specifically, we can see that this all 5 aspects where he can advance in Krishna consciousness are abundantly provided, naturally. We see that how the association in India is so readily available. Because there are so many temples, like 2 days back only we were seeing that. How so many people, they were just thronging here to take the beautiful darshan of their Lordship Shri Radha Ras Bihariji. Tens of lakhs of people. And it's not very difficult for them. They have to just take a train and come here. So in India, this kind of association is very readily available. What to speak of this, previously in Indian culture, all the sadhus, they used to travel place to place. they go from house to house, they beg, and whenever they go and beg, there is a, you know, spiritual discussion also. They give some spiritual input to the people living in, you know, homes. So by that also, there is lot of opportunity for any common man to associate with devotees. And there are so many festivals where they come to temple. Not only that, actually now also I still remember, just when we were, you know, studying in 5th, 6th standards, that time also in our, you know, hometown, every day in the morning and evening we used to have this Ramayana Katha. Ramayana in the morning and some Katha in the evening. And so many people used to come. Because there was nothing other than that. So, in India, this is very readily available, association. And books, Srimad Bhagavatam, we see so many places. Although now Kali Yuga is so rampant, but still people, they have, you know, the natural affection or natural inclination for arranging Bhagavat Saptas, you know, sitting and hearing what speaker has to say. Of course now things have become quite, you know, deteriorated, but still we can see that, as Prabhupada said, even the dead elephant is valuable. So similarly, although the same intense Vedic culture may not be present now available in India, but whatever forms, remnants are remaining in India, they themselves are very powerful. So because of that, so much facilities are provided for each and every individual in India to practice Krishna consciousness. And all these, you know, books, Bhagavatam, then Bhagavad Gita, they are very readily available. You go to any shop on the bookstall, no shop you'll, you know, return back finding no Bhagavad Gita there, or no Bhagavatam there, or no any spiritual literature there. Every bookstall you'll find that. So there is no dearth of spiritual material if you really, you know, have to advance in Krishna consciousness. Another is, you know, chanting of the holy name. The Vedic culture is meant in such a way that whatever you do, there are, you know, different samskaras where all the relatives, they come and then they have the ceremony, where the basic ingredient is always chanting of the holy names. And practically every, like we have seen, any person goes to the shop, opens his shop, and first thing he does is, he will open his galla, some photos will be there, he will take out, you know, some agarbatti, you know, rotate it, chant some mantras, you know, bow down, and that's how he start his work. Knowing that my work is dependent on the Lord, and Lord is only overseeing it. So this kind of, you know, attitude is so nicely ingrained in our culture that it's like naturally we are accustomed to chant holy names. Or so many places we find that people, they keep their kid's name as, you know, Krishna Das, or we say some of the devotees' name, Sudama, or, you know, Arjun, or Madhava. So all these names are, you know, given, and we find that practically whole life they will, you know, keep on chanting these names in terms of their, you know, family relationship or something, which is not the case with outside, you know, people. But here, like you see, so many restaurants, so many shops given the name, you know, it's like, you know, they will say Krishna Housing Society, you know, something like that. So whenever you have to deal with the society, then Krishna comes in picture. So Indian culture is such that the holy name is, you know, somehow forced in our life by one way or other. So that's how chanting becomes an integral part of life in Vedic culture. And there are so many anushtans and so many, you know, pujas, so many places when someone goes to temple. There it is very readily available. Now also we see that even in any house, we will find some kind of spiritual activity going on. Some mala will be there, you know, some books will be there. So that is very readily available. And then is, you know, deity worship. We can see that, you know, temples all over India, there are, like, practically in Vrindavan itself, there are 5,000 temples. And if you go and walk in any city, little bit, you'll find, if you travel just for one kilometer, you'll find at least 2-3 temples, you know, side by, here, there. So there is no dearth of, you know, this kind of facility for oneself to render service to deities. Of course, whenever we are seeing deity worship, that is authorized and official Vishnu Murtis, which may not be the case. Some are, you know, not authorized. But the point is, now also we go in South India, so many temples, you know, we find. Huge temples, built by so many kings. And that was one of the main activity of the previous kings. That with the help of, you know, saintly people, they used to build very huge temples. Like we have seen the Srirangam temple or Adikesha temple, or here also in India, there are so many, you know, temples. Like in Pandharpur we have. So, if you just, you know, see, the temple is like every now and then you'll, you know, come across any temple like that, where you can be in touch with spiritual atmosphere. Another is Dham. Dham also, Dham means where the Lord resided, or he has performed some pastime, or his devotees have been, you know, doing some devotional service. And we can see in India, any place we are standing, within the area of 10 kilometers, you will find one very special dham. There is no place in India where you can stand and say, no, dham is too far from here. You know, that's not possible. Some dham will be there within the area of, you know, 10 kilometers, where you can just go very easily and get the association or get the benefit of being in dham. So we see this, you know, five potent objects of devotional service. They are so readily available in Indian culture. And that's what make India really, you know, great. By understanding this, only we can say that Mera Bharat Mahan. Because that Mahanta is in this five objects which are readily available, which is not the case with outside India. So this is actual, you know, facility provided by Indian culture. But sometimes nowadays, when this culture is present here, people, without knowing their exact value, they feel that, okay, it's abundantly available. They say, na, if things are too familiar, then familiarity breeds contempt. If things are too readily available, cheaply available, then people also take them very cheaply, not knowing their value. You know? So, that happens, you know, everywhere. So that's why it's very, you know, one of the important thing is to understand that this Vedic culture is so important, and not only important, as Prabhupada says here that because of the, he says, for the past 200 years, India had been subjugated by the rulers of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. That because of the Muslim and afterwards British invasion, they have practically broken down this Vedic culture to a greater extent. Because they knew that unless the culture is not broken, they cannot conquer. That's the way, you know, they did their job. And when the Muslim came, the Mughals, their first thing was showing the sword and telling, you know, either you get converted or you'll be killed. So much fear they created in the culture. And when the Britishers, they came, they created by their educational system, which they invented, you know, convent system, they did their best to make us, you know, feel inferior in terms of our, you know, regular activities. Inferior, in a sense, kind of culture we are following. So now also, this is like a very trained, or this is very normal, that any Indian feels inferiority complex when he has to face the Western culture, or that is given so heavily through Britishers, that you all are just slaves. You know, we are the masters, and our culture is the best. The kind of etiquettes we have, the kind of, you know, the ways of we have, they are to be, you know, followed. And that's why when Prabhupada was, you know, going to the West, some of his, you know, friends, they told Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, you are going to the West, you should learn how to dress in Western clothes, how to eat with knife and fork. You should know how to, you know, kind of having conversations. Prabhupada was least bothered about it. Prabhupada said, I am going there not to imitate them, but to teach them how I, you know, you should wear dhoti kurta, how you should put tilak, how you should chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada was one man, army, who just went there and created that, you know, transformation. Because he knew the effect and he knew the potency of the culture of India. So here are some of the quotations which we understand from that how the Vedic culture at one point of time, it's not that something which was inferior in any way. Many times they say that this Vedas and all our Upanishads, they were written by some stone age man, and who cares them now? They are all so many ages, thousands of years back. But we see like this, this book is there on Indian culture. So there, this one quote is given from Atharva Veda. This is book 20, hymn 7, verse 3. The translation is, furthermore, in the earliest of Vedic writings, such as Atharva Veda, we find a number of verses that deal with the use and benefit of electricity, such as this one. So, some of the ancient Vedic texts also, we find one of the very professional and very advanced knowledge about what we are having now, current material facilities. He says, that very electric power that may be our peaceful friend, providing us with the house power to drive our machines, light to light our houses, and power to produce grains in the fields, let it bring on prosperity and well-being for us by flowing into numerous currents. So we see that even in Vedic culture, they were knowing all these facilities what we have currently. It's not that Vedic culture was in any way lesser in its importance. And there are so many places where how they had such a nice communication facilities is also given. It talks about the Vimana Shastra, it talks about the shipping, how they used to ship from one place to another. This one thing comes, it gives even the information of atomic energy. This comes in, again, Atharva Veda, 20.41, Shloka 1 to 3rd. He says, the atomic energy fissions the 99 elements covering its path by the bombardment of neutrons without let or hindrance. Desirous of stackling the head, that is the chief part of the swift power, hidden in the mass of molecular adjustment of the elements, this atomic energy approaches in its very act of fission it by the above noted bombardments. And it goes on describing about how in different ways one gets an atomic energy from. So we see that this kind of, you know, literature which we have is quite, is like far more superior than even current what advancement we have. And I was going through this, that previously even in so many great civilizations we see, that Greek civilization or this Maya civilization which has given this deadline of 2012. So these kind of great civilizations also are part of Vedic civilization. Like I was seeing that this Greek in 2nd century, one king's name is there, he had coined, like they used to have this mudras. So in Greek, that was the mudra in 2nd century before even Christianity came, that they used to have Krishna's picture on that mudra of Greek. That clearly shows that people were very readily worshipping Krishna that time also in Greek. And something comes on the Raj Mudra, it's not an joke. You will not take anything and put on the Raj Mudra. So we find so many such instances. Like even in America, there are so many paintings which are pre-Christian paintings. Before Christianity started, there were some paintings found, even in America, where the people are wearing traditional dress of dhoti kurta, having uttari, having thread, Brahman thread. So this kind of evidences very clearly show that this kind of Vedic culture was present all over the world, not only in India. So that gives us understanding that what we are following is not just a sectarian, just made for few tract of land and then we are following that. No. At one point of time, Vedic culture was prevalent all over the world. And now, in India, specifically it is considered very glorious. Why? Because specifically this land is chosen by the Lord always for His incarnations. He comes here, in every yuga to give His very auspicious association to all the devotees. And that's why that makes India more glorious in all of the world. And that's why India is considered the land of dharma. And actually this kind of culture what we have, that only makes it so appealing and very wonderful for any person to take to Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada is telling here, that this culture of spiritual culture is the actual wealth of India. But Prabhupada always said that if Krishna consciousness has to spread, it will spread through its culture. Because culture has that power to practically conquer anything and everything. Now you may conquer his brain by giving philosophy, but that will be very external. Or you may give him some facilities, give some money and give some facilities and make him follow our religion. That also will be very superficial. But when all this philosophy and our Vedic rituals combined with a culture of Krishna consciousness, where everything comes then, art, poetry, dancing, and philosophy, everything, all the relationships, like this culture is presented to the whole world, very readily they will accept Krishna consciousness. Because then it's like it's a lifestyle which they can see that, okay, this lifestyle is better than what I am living. So then it becomes very easy for any common man to accept. So this Vedic culture, what Prabhupada has given us, Prabhupada says here that how early in the morning a devotee gets up, then they attend Mangalarti, then there is a Bhagavatam class like this, then whole day services, again in the evening there is gathering of devotees where they chant the holy names. So that's what this culture of whole, so many festivals keep coming. So this kind of culture only can very nicely conquer a person. And this is very practically seen. Like, I can give this example from Pune temple. Like in our Pune we have Brahmacharya Ashram. And previously it used to happen that people, they just used to barge in. Any people used to come. It's like kids, it's like anyone. They used to feel that this is a kind of, they will just barge in and ask, where is the toilet or something. They used to feel that, there is some facility over here. So then we started keeping one guard outside, like security guard hired. So then he used to sit there on the chair, and then people will come and ask him, this such and such devotee is there. Then they will ask, Sundar Shampuru is there. Then the guard will stand up and then he will shout. Because we have a small ashram, so once shouting is enough. So then he will call that devotee's name. Thrice he will call, that's how. And then if that devotee is there, he will call back and he will come. And if any response doesn't come, then he will tell that person that he is not there. Our phone will come and then they will ask, this such and such devotee is there. So again the same procedure, that he calls out different devotees' name and he keeps on shouting. So we saw that practically throughout day his activity is this only. He will be just shouting the names of devotees. Keshwanandru hai, Keshwanandru hai, or Sundar Shampuru, Sundar Shampuru, Radha Shampuru, Radha Shampuru. Like that he will call out names. And then devotees, on first day when he came, devotees are so extraordinary. First day he don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. One devotee gave him the Sri Ishopanishad to read. And then I was so, and he was sitting there on the chair and reading. That was his first day in Krishna consciousness. After 2 days, one devotee gave him beads. So he was, with bead bag he was sitting there chanting Hare Krishna. So now he had only two activities. One is to chant the names of Krishna, or chant the names of devotees. And throughout day his activity is this only. And within just 2 months or 3 months, he started 16 rounds. Because there was, every day he used to come and he has to sit there. So he started 16 rounds. After some time, Kanthimala appeared on his neck. And after four months, he left that job in outside that security job, and he took job in temple. He started staying in temple. He took a job of operator or something. And I have seen this happening. It's like, this is like every 4 months that person becomes a devotee. Whoever comes there as a guard, he becomes a devotee, then he comes in temple, another guard comes there, and then it's like same procedure. Within just 4 months, he becomes proper, pakka, 16-rounder devotee, doing all Krishna conscious activities. So you can see, this is what the culture is. When you just touch the culture, you go there near the culture, you are so transformed within no minutes. It's like within no times, that affects. Person who is not having even any thought of what Krishna consciousness is, he just comes there for guarding. But he also is transformed within very short time by the culture of Krishna consciousness. So this kind of culture what we have in India, that's what is the greatest treasure what we have. So whenever we are staying, as Prabhupada says here, Varnashram system, as we have all four ashramas, Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Sannyasa ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, they are so potent that if someone just, comes there, he feels so much, nourished. That's how the, things are. If someone enters Brahmacharya ashram, just by the association of devotees, he is like pushed to advance in Krishna consciousness. Or someone joins congregation, then by the seeing how devotees are performing their Krishna consciousness, he is pushed without his knowledge to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's what the greatest treasure we have. And as Prabhupada always stressed on this one point, that culture means atmosphere where you go and transform yourself. That's what the training is. When we are taking a training is not for only body. That can be done by anyone. Even the child can be trained. When someone comes to temple, pay obeisances, vanchakalpatarabhesha, that's not very difficult, bowing down. But training means training of our subtle body, training of our mind, training of our emotions, training of our intellect. So that is more important. That is a actual part of training. So that happens in culture. When we come in the association of devotees, not only we learn the externals, but we learn the internals also. And that is the beauty of Vedic culture. Slowly it happens. That person start getting very wonderful qualities of a devotee. So then we can see that's the sign that culture is giving its results in our life. So when Prabhupada also went to West, his main focus was to give them chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That was his only focus. So when he has to give that, then he gave in cultural format. So here also, in any place we see that when the culture is along with that medicine of holy name, then it's very nicely taken. Yeah. Because that's the end of all cultural activities, to get this gift of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which is culmination of all consciousness. That the highest thing is the chanting of the holy name. That's why Bilomangal Thakur says, he says, Sukhavasane idameva saram, Dukhavasane idameva geyam, Dehavasane idameva japyam, Govinda damodara madhaveti. He says, everything ends in chanting of the holy name. He says, Sukha avasane, that all your hankerings of pleasure, all your strife, all your endeavors for pleasure ends when you chant the holy name of the Lord. And Dukhavasane, all your miseries also end when you start chanting Hare Krishna. And your all bodies, what we take, birth after birth, they also end when you start chanting Hare Krishna. Dehavasane idameva japyam, when you start chanting Hare Krishna. So the culture is this only, that ultimately one is forced to do spiritual activities, specifically the chanting of the holy names. Yeah. So I'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.